Is this embarrassing? Yes. Is it awkward? Yes.
No, bitch, it wasn't awkward until you made it awkward by saying awkward.
Ladies and gentlemen,
awkward.
Social podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Awkwardly Social Podcast. My name is Jose Chavez. Thank you so very much for downloading this episode, and hopefully you've listened to some of the previous ones. You can find them on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. If you're listening to this, you probably already found it. But if you want to go back to the older episodes, which some of them aren't all that great, I'll admit there was a period of time there where I was trying to find my footing. But please feel free to check them out. You know, sometimes maybe there's some insight in there or a little bit of humor that you might appreciate. You can find that at awkwardlysocialcomedy.com. It's a Sunday night for me. Hopefully all of you have enjoyed your weekend or you're looking forward to this coming week. If you're listening on a Monday, just fucking go out there and do your thing. Enjoy yourself as much as you possibly can. I know that work sucks. I know the idea of having to get up early, having an alarm go off to wake you up is pretty exhausting. Even if you end up having to go nowhere, if you choose to stay home, the process itself is kind of tiring. Sometimes you hear about people trying to come up with new, unique ways of trying to wake up. That's why they do those things like in, I think it's Pee-wee's Playhouse where there's a whole, like, a tricky thing where, like, different things trigger one another and then it results in something just conking you on the head and waking you up. Might have been the Flintstones movie. I forget what it was. The point is, we all got to find a way to just entertain ourselves just a little bit. I had a very busy week. I do see the numbers there. Thank you guys so much for the new subscribers. Welcome. Thank you for checking it out. The Brian McDaniel episode, the Sylvia Sage and Stoner Rob episodes got some great responses. Very happy to hear that. That was a that was interesting. It was a great way to wrap up the week to take a look and see. For some reason, a lot of people in Brazil, I don't know if it's one or the other that has a fan base out there, but welcome. Enjoy. Have fun with it. That was kind of cool. There were some things that I did take some notes during the week. I always take notes for the podcast that ultimately don't get used. I try to have a rough kind of skeleton for what I want to talk about. Not necessarily when I have guests. With guests, I try to have it be as fluid as possible. I may do a little research, but for the most part, I keep it very light so I don't, you know, intentionally navigate the conversation in a path that's just not natural. But I you know, I did do a little bit of research on this one. I did take some notes. Well, the notes I've been reading over have nothing to do necessarily with the guests, but just things that came up in conversation, things I've already been thinking about, and I wasn't able to crystallize it at the time. That's one of the things is as much as I love having a guest on, sometimes I don't have enough time to properly express myself, and I may be using too many words to say what I want to say. I mean, listen to how long I've been setting up just this part. It happens. But it's a process. We all do it. We all have our way of getting to our conclusion. Some people do it in kind of a boring way where they have a tough time telling a story. But there's always something there. There's always substance just buried deep in there. And that's one thing we all have to work on a little bit is tell a better story. Or make sure that if you're going to have a lot of filler, have that filler mean something. Have it be some kind of construct that can direct you or that can properly house the opinion that you're ultimately going to share, because it's not always going to be received the same way by everybody. So do your best to at least try to be as direct with it, or at least be as literal in terms of what you mean as much as possible, because it will get construed at some point. A little bit of that happened during the podcast, especially when I started with Brian McDaniel early on. Talking about hosting, and I'll dial it back. I listened to the episode just to kind of hear what I said to make sure that I didn't say anything wrong, and I did. I said some things in a way that didn't quite make sense at the time. I think I was trying to make a point, and I failed miserably. But these notes that I wrote were before that, and I realized I should have used this to help express what I meant to say at the time. Now, there's an expression that we're using. Which is a false energy. A false energy is pretty self-explanatory. You create a social dialogue with your audience, your followers, and you know it's a hype man. It's like a hype man syndrome. You are it's all, you know, it's all flash, no substance. I don't mind flash. I don't mind it at all. It's good to have energy. It's good to bring people up, or when people are already up, to kind of bring them down a little bit, to equalize it, to balance it. That's totally fine. But you have to have something to back that up with. If you have it, it's like promoting your social media, promoting yourself, but having no actual content. And I'll do that. A lot of my stuff is photos of my cats or my recent trip to Disneyland, which is often when your one expense for the year is an annual pass. You know, so I understand that. You know, most of my content is limited to the stage or these podcasts. But you know, I have to create the content. I have to put value to the things I'm talking about. It's the exact same concept for execution for hosting a show, for being in stand-up comedy. There has to be more there other than just that. You know, as the podcast host, I have a responsibility to keep the energy moving, filling the usual lulls with laughter, conversation. The same thing happens on stage. It may be one person talking, or maybe they're playing with the crowd a little bit, but it is something that has to keep going. It has to continue and be just a constant stream of, you don't want to be the guy that has hiccups, you know, when you are trying to have a conversation, just the hiccups interrupt. That's what you could do in comedy. One of the early comedy shows that I did, there was this host who she was aggressive. Not only was she aggressive, she was mean and a little racist, but she thought it's what the audience wanted because she... I'll go back a little bit further than this, but I will say this much. She thought it's what the audience wanted, so it's what she gave them. And instead, it ended up hurting her cause. Her intent was completely overshadowed by her execution or her misunderstanding. All right, so I was at Disneyland today. That's why I use that as an example. There was a large family that cut into the fast pass, the line you get into, to, you know, when you pre-scan to get a front of the line kind of pass type thing. And this one guy is encouraging his entire family, which had to have been 7 or 8 people, to get in line in the fast pass. And everybody is apologizing, saying, no, we shouldn't be doing this. And the one guy says, hey, everybody does it. It's fine. And he says this in a very, I mean, the guy behaved as if he was some kind of stereotype. You know, like, I can't do accents, but he had a lot of like, hey, relax, guys. Everybody does this thing. It's fine. Don't worry about it. We're just blending in with everybody else. Everybody does this. He's immediately wrong. I don't do that. So immediately disqualifies the whole everybody does it. A lot of people that were in that line who were scanning were already pre-set up for that. And then those who weren't got out of the line. This is one of those things that a lot of people do. Like where either it's a creation of a false stereotype or based on your own conclusions. Like you think, oh, I do this thing, so everybody does this thing. Because your scope is so limited by your own behavior that you think that it's what everybody does. At some point, somebody justified it for you. And then so you think everybody's justified for it. But just because one asshole was being an asshole doesn't mean that everyone's an asshole. You know, and it's a weird sort of logic without any sort of fact. They're building a case on nothingness, and it's that kind of stuff carries over. That goes to this guy. That also goes to the host. The host who was hosting the show had this like, oh, they want racism. They want this humor. They want me to be raunchy and just bad and terrible because it's what this show is. And that very much wasn't the case. In fact, the show was so terrible that the website for the comedy club actually had a disclaimer saying that they don't guarantee comedy or entertainment on this show, which I think they had to put there because a lot of people were getting offended or bothered. And it wasn't like heavy hitter kind of comedy. I've been, you know, involved in that kind, not involved directly, but one time I did a show with Jeff Ross and Jeff Ross went up right before me. And then I was sitting alongside the stage because I was planning on going up and then they brought him up as a guest spot, which is totally fine. I had no problem with that. But I was so excited about being there that I just stayed in that seat that I had set up. And I'm the only guy there at the improv sitting in that specific area. So he calls me out and he starts shitting on me in a very comedic way. Well thought out, not really being mean, but just being very, very like, the guy had great content there. I was loving, I was dying, I was digging it. This woman thought that this is what she was doing. She is no Jeff Ross, and she hurt her own project, her own show. And that is what people can do. They can overhype, they can oversell. They think that they're giving the audience what they want. In reality, at the end of the day, they could be giving them next to nothing. I'm sorry if I'm spending so much time on this subject, but this is one of those notes that I had, and I just, you know, when you expand on something, you're peeling back the layers, and yeah, whatever, doesn't care. Anyhow, I understand that. I'm not, if anybody thinks that I'm saying don't be a fucking high energy guy, don't be a low energy guy, be whatever you are, be your own energy, be the thing that you start off with and end up with, you know, be okay with the fact that you might not 100% be as on board or on brand as you think you are, and then change that. It's really hard for us to tell, because imagine being the guy in the party who's making jokes and you think you're killing it left and right, throwing jokes left and right. At the end of the day, you leave the party, and what ends up happening? Somebody's shitting on what you were doing. They're like, oh, the whole fucking time you wouldn't shut up. He would just go on and on about all these things that I didn't want to hear about. That is not being on brand. That's your own ego getting in the way of not properly reading the room. Reading the room is very fucking important. And I think we do it in the process, but we tell ourselves, well, nobody's told me to shut up yet, so I'm going to keep going. And I'm speaking from experience, because I do this quite often, except I sometimes do it on purpose, specifically with my family. You know, but I mostly do it because when people get very serious in an unnecessarily, like in a moment where it's not necessary to get serious or angry, I kind of like changing the energy in the room. If everyone's going to be upset, I'd rather them be upset with me, because I at least have confidence in myself to being able to redeem that and bring it back around. It's weird, but if you can change the energy in a room, you can pretty much do whatever you want in that room. It's the same with comedy. That's the exact same thing. That's what you do as a host. That's what I had to learn as a host. I used to have my buddy Teddy Tutson host my comedy shows, because he was such a high energy guy, very intelligent, and he would have a great time up there. Sometimes he'd lose the audience because his jokes would be a little too highbrow for some of the audience members. But truth be told, it's because his audience was not this small coffee shop in San Fernando. That was a very different audience. I had to sort of, it was an education where this wasn't the kind of comedy this audience was expecting or probably conditioned to, but they learned. And then the same people kept coming back over and over again. And by the end of it, Teddy was a staple to the comedy show, and the people loved him. And it wasn't because he was too smart for them, and it wasn't because he wasn't funny. It's because it was a trial and error with teaching this audience how to properly respond to the humor, or to at least understand it. He learned to understand them, and vice versa. When he left, I had to pick that up, and I had to learn the lessons that he learned after the fact. And I think I was able to pick it up because I learned from what he was doing. So I do that, you know, and it's because I had to, I had no choice. And this right now, the way that I'm speaking, this is me being not calm. This is the way that I speak. This is how I come across, because this is how I've developed myself, and it doesn't always work, but I'm finding my voice in comedy and in podcasting, and this is where it's sort of become better. When I'm on stage, I become like a hyper version of myself that has an understanding and is attuned to the audience's thoughts and feelings. I'm normally not that person. You know, I can see somebody and not understand their emotions, or I'll go very basic with it. Happy, sad, scared, brave. You know, the such basic things that when I try to talk to them, if they're looking for advice or if they're just looking to socialize, I will miss the cue because I won't properly assess what's going on there. I used to be great at it. I used to be really good at it. But I was also speaking with a lot of people who were, you know, much younger, whose complexities were, you know, limited to whether or not they should rebel against their parents in some way or the other. So I had to evolve over time with that, and I did it right away. And now that I'm understanding it. Comedy has allowed me to do that. So now I'm aware of that. You have to be aware of the audience's thoughts and feelings. It's a way of sort of navigating them. You don't have to be sensitive to it, but you have to at least be aware of it. The person I am offstage at a comedy club is sort of an extension of the onstage persona. The reason for that is, if I'm going to be networking, if I'm going to be working with the crowd, if I'm going to be talking to them on and off stage after the show was over, I can continue that vibe, that energy, and allow them to enjoy themselves. Because without that extension, most of my comments, they're probably more of a conversation ender than they are a contribution. It's like saying the thing that would end a conversation would be every single comment of mine. So I would be going around essentially shutting that party down. I think that skill will be useful in the future. Like when I have a party and I want people to leave, I'm just going to have a regular conversation. I'm going to turn into the offstage mode, and then I'll bore everybody the hell away, which is totally fine. I don't mind doing that, especially when I need my nap, because I need my naps. We all do. When you walk into a room, there's like a communal connection, psychological, emotional, whatever you want to do. I call it the maybe emotional Wi-Fi. Everybody's connected to it. Everybody's on the same network when they get in there. They don't all have the same thoughts and opinions, yada yada, but they are all connected in some way. When you're a part of a community, you're all agreeing to something unintentionally, but you agree to it, and then you flow through that. You communicate with one another. It's hard for me to connect to that Wi-Fi a lot of times. And then, when I do, it goes over great. When I don't, sometimes I'm the guy that's more of an observer than anything else, which, again, is totally fine if that's the case. This is for all those socially awkward people out there. And that's why this podcast is called Awkwardly Social. Yes, getting back to it. So, it's not always easy. So I understand that. I wasn't shitting on a host. I wasn't even shitting on the way that he did it. I just think that it can hurt you more than it helps. And that's the truth. That's the way that I feel about that. So just wanted to express on those notes, those thoughts that I had in that moment. There is one other thing that I wanted to say. So during the week this week, with the exception of feeling a little sick in the morning, sometimes having McDonald's breakfast is not always the best choice. You feel a little woozy, you feel a little nauseous. All that aside, I did ended up taking a day off this week that I wouldn't normally do. Got some stuff done, nothing major. Recorded that podcast with Brian McDaniel. Did a little bit of I unclogged the drain in the bathroom, which makes it seem like it's a huge accomplishment. Not necessarily, but at the same time, it's that one thing where you ignore a slight inconvenience because you just can't be bothered to take care of it right away. Not because it's too difficult, but just because a part of you is almost reluctant. It's like intentionally walking into something at night and knowing you could easily move it out of the way because you're going to bump into it in the dark, but you don't because you can't be bothered. It's something that's like, it's not going to stop you from living. It's not really going to impact you in any way other than in that immediate moment. Maybe a little bit more than that with a clogged drain. I was finally able to unclog it. You looked some stuff up online, as one does. My friend Zhivago, who learned how to do a lot of work on trucks and vehicles, pretty much taught me to read a book and look up some stuff on YouTube. YouTube will have a lot of like, how do you do this? How do you do that kind of stuff? I did find a couple of methods to unclog in the drain, and at the end of the day, I was able to get it unclogged. Again, no big deal, but it also felt good to have to do that, especially since, when you rent, you don't necessarily have to do that. But a part of it did seem interesting, or at least good to know that I was able to do that. Once again, no big deal, but it still felt good to do it. And I realized something that is, I often forget. Because when you think about being responsible, when you think about having to take care of errands or just responsible things in general, whether or not it all falls on you, you have to be able to take a little bit of time for yourself. For me, it's more, the passion projects, the comedy, the podcast, sometimes writing things, even if there's no intent of putting it out there, but just things that I wanted to express. That stuff allows you to empty out your mind a little bit, to process the things that you wanted to process, because you wouldn't be able to do anything with it otherwise. It's always important to do that. It doesn't matter if you're building something or if you're just watching something. Take time to do something for yourself. Ideally, something productive. You know, it, maybe not something that's going to make you a whole lot of money, but at least something that, that you feel like you accomplish something. Because when you accomplish something, big or small, it feels good. It feels great. And then you can take a nap or fall asleep a little better. I know I do. When I do something that I really wanted to do, something that I wanted to get completed, I sleep better. I sleep better, if, you know, the same way I do when I stay on top of something that I need to stay on top of. When I get a bunch of shows in a week, when I sometimes it's that adrenaline that keeps me up. But for the most part, once I knock out and I sleep well. It's, we all do it. We all have that thing. And if you don't have that thing, go find that thing. Figure out what it is. It's not always going to be what you think it is, but find a thing that kind of puts your mind at ease. It may be small. I mean, I've known people who did things like taking up knitting. You know, it didn't mean anything. It doesn't really get you anywhere, but it doesn't have to. It just gets you, it keeps your hands busy. It keeps your mind busy, and that's fine. You know, take some time to learn a new hobby. There was this one time I was taking the subway, and I was heading from LA back to the Valley, and on the train there's this guy sitting there and he's juggling, and it didn't seem like he was a stage performer by any means or anything. He really caught the attention of the people around him, and I was starting to talk to him a little bit about it, and you know, I was asking I'm like, oh, is this something you do for money? He said, not at all. This is something I do to distract myself. He would edit these videos on this, I guess the software is really old, or I don't fully understand all that, but it would take hours or a long period of time for whatever it was that he was doing to render. So he had so much downtime in between his editing that he needed to fill the time with something. And his work was right near the subway. So to kill some time, he would get in the subway and just ride it back and forth, you know, or get off somewhere and then do something and then get back on the subway and head back. And then one day he started teaching himself how to juggle. Then he got pretty good at it. When I saw him, he was pretty good. You know, juggling is just impressive in general. I tried to put away two cups today. I tried to put one cup on the counter so I can use it to drink, and the other cup that was recently washed up in the cabinet so I can save it for later. And I managed to drop both, and it like knocked around like crazy because I can't coordinate with both my hands at the same time. I have no clue what the hell happened there, but it was, you know, they both fell. So the fact that this guy juggles to me is witchcraft. And that's, you know, and he taught himself that, and he's pretty much said, he's like, look, I needed to distract myself. I needed a way to pass time, and then I just started juggling in it. It keeps my mind focused when I need to think, or when it keeps my mind focused when I need to distract myself. And that's a fucking beautiful thing. His job's already kind of cool, but the fact that his excitement sort of comes from the things that he does in between the work, that's something that a lot of people are lacking. They're lacking that thing that they can do for themselves to make things a little bit better. If there's a way for you to do that, if there is something out there that's like that for you, fucking do it. Just there's nothing, reluctancy and laziness is the thing that's stopping you. I was gonna say nothing's stopping you, but technically you're stopping you. But you know, nothing real tangible. If you have a complex life with a lot of shit going on, I'm sorry that that's your life right now, but that's not always gonna be your life. You know, you can find time for it. You could sit around for hours thinking about the things that you could have done and then just spend those hours doing nothing. There's no, which by the way, there's nothing fucking wrong with doing nothing. Sometimes doing nothing is the right fucking thing to do, because you may feel like now you're behind a few hours on that day, which will put you behind for the week or for the month or whatever. Build it up as much as you want. Doesn't matter, because when you're not thinking about it, those few hours that you wasted, you're not even gonna fucking remember that you did that. You're only gonna remember the idea of the fact that happened at some point. Oh, at some point I wasted these hours, so now I'm going to think about what that period of time was. It won't matter. If you don't rethink, if you don't revisit that, you would have completely moved on from the fact that at some point you wasted time. So don't waste so much time thinking about the time you're wasting. And do something. It doesn't matter how big or small it is. Just do something. Let's create a podcast. I always suggest that. I always tell people, create a podcast. Give me something to listen to. I won't listen to every episode, but I'll try it out. I'll check it out. I can't tell you how many friends of mine who create a podcast and I listen to an episode or two and then I get really into it. And then next thing you know, I'm talking to them as if I'm not their friend, but just like a listener. I'm like, dear Martin Rizzo, how are you today? I am good. Which, by the way, Rizzo was supposed to be part of the group for the Disneyland trip today. And it turns out his morning or his early is not the same as ours, because he got to Disneyland like at 6 p.m. ish when we got there at 8 a.m. It was a very different dynamic. but you know what? Here's a little lesson, you guys. When you're coordinating, make sure that you provide actual hours, because there's going to be some misunderstandings there. Yeah, we all try. We all try to do that thing. We're like, well, we're going to get there early. We're going to do this and that. The fact that we were there before 9 a.m. when it was a Sunday and you didn't have to wake up that early. And driving down there, by the way. Waking up here at around 6:40-ish and getting out there before 9 a.m. is a fucking miracle. I mean, if it were up to me, I would have slept in all day. But at the same time, Disneyland was a fucking much-needed thing. It's one of those things where it's like, I'm going to sort of waste my day, but at the same time, not waste my day, because I'm going to get a lot of shit done. Got a lot of rides in. Kind of proud of that. Anyhow, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up this episode. Find your thing. Do it. It's okay to waste some time, but don't beat yourself up if you didn't fucking get something started right away. You know, if it helps you to create a deadline, create a deadline. If it hurts you to create a deadline, then don't fucking do it. I know for some people that when the thing they love becomes a work, suddenly the thing they love is just work. And then they can't do it the way that they used to be able to do it because of the structure that's created around it. Figure out a way that works for you. What, you know, is it better to make it feel like a hobby, even if you become successful in it? You know, is it better to work at your own pace? Is it actually beneficial to work at your own pace? But figure it out. You have the time. You have more time than you think. Even when you don't have that time, you do have the time. That's pretty much it, you guys. Follow me on the social media at I Am Jose Chavez. That's on pretty much everything. I don't really use it all, but I'm mostly on everything. If you guys want to email some subjects, some recommendations, please feel free to do so. JoseChavezComedian@gmail.com. I forgot my own email address. I have like three fucking things that I had to remember at the end of each episode, and I forgot one of three. AwkwardlySocialComedy.com. If you want to check out past episodes, I try to put some content on there. If you guys want to find out what shows I'm going to be doing soon, it's not your responsibility, but if you see something and you don't see any information and it's not updated, go ahead and nudge me. I'm not great at updating that stuff. Sometimes I'll forget that I'm on a show until I see that somebody's tagged me on a flyer. I'm like, oh yeah, I probably should have promoted that. It happens. All right, gotta go. Take care. Bye-bye.